A little known fact about me, one that will never appear on a professional resume, is that I once worked at Cracker Barrel. And I have my apron, one of the aprons, as a souvenir from my time there. I was on my way to being a four-star team member when I accepted my first ministry position. And my time at Cracker Barrel taught me a few things. One, you're never allowed to leave the kitchen unless you're holding a tray. All those peg games at the tables can be solved every time if you know the trick. And there is a traffic light that hangs above the restrooms at every single Cracker Barrel location. Something else I learned from my time there is that Cracker Barrel strives to be a place of hospitality. They call their employees team members. All of the customers are called guests, and they invite you to belong. These are your team members. These are your guests. They want to create a welcoming environment and an experience that is so good that people want to return to. And I thought this morning that we could learn something from Cracker Barrel as we have been going through our series on hospitality. So this morning, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 19 and see what it has to tell us. And I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to open to Luke chapter 19. It will be on the screens also. Luke 19:1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Has anyone ever heard that Zacchaeus was a wee little man? In fact, a wee little man was he. He did not have the height advantage to see over the crowds to get a glance at Jesus as he was walking down the street. Now, had Zac been a respectable man in society or an influential person, people would have just stepped aside and given him a curbside view. But he wasn't. He was known to be a notorious sinner. He was a cheat. He was a swindler. He was a traitor. He was a man that was far from God, and those feelings and thoughts were all connected to his profession as a tax collector. I think that we can all agree that none of us enjoy paying taxes. No one is overjoyed when after you file your taxes, you find out you still owe a few thousand dollars to the government. No one opens up a paycheck and says, "Oh, look at that. My net and gross pay are different. Good for you, Wichita, for taking a little bit." And I think that's a standard across time. It hasn't changed. But it's something we all do. We have to, or we will face a penalty of possible prison. It is a dollar amount that gets removed from our paychecks. It's tacked on to our grocery bills. It's estimated on our property. And for the most part, our tax system is automated. Now, our tax system and the tax system here in Luke are much different. Back then, there would have been a person going to your door, knocking and demanding that you pay your taxes. There would have been a stand set up along trade routes where a man would sit at a table, look at all the stuff that you bought, consider what they thought it was worth, and then charge you whatever they wanted. So if they thought that perhaps you looked rich, or if they did not like you, you looked at them funny, they could charge you extra. Now, the Roman government, on the other hand, they had a set standard that they required to be paid back to them. They contracted people out to make sure that the money was collected and sent. And this was the role that Zacchaeus played. He was your local IRS agent. And to have this job, Zacchaeus had to side with Rome, which was the government oppressing the Jewish people. He was seen as a collaborator, and collaborators were not considered to be sons of Abraham. He was a hated man, considered to be far from God. And he would be viewed the same way as a Ukrainian citizen who sides with Russia, considered a traitor. And for him, he chose money over his own people. And as the chief tax collector, he would then subcontract out people to do the legwork for him. Zach and his crew could collect and keep whatever amount they wanted as long as they sent their fees back to Rome. And it was a rare person that could get out of paying taxes because Zach and his crew were backed by the Roman military. So imagine a mobster showing up to your door and saying, "You owe $2,000. But you know in reality, you only owe $1,000. What do you do? Do you argue with them, or do you pay? It was this system that made Zacchaeus a very wealthy man. My kids used to play the game, Would You Rather? So for Zacchaeus, would you rather be wealthy and hated, or poor and loved? Zacchaeus chose to be wealthy and hated. This was the man who wanted to get a glance of Jesus when he was walking down the road. And it's no wonder that people did not make way for him. I imagine that people even pressed closer together just to block his view. So what does he do? In verse 4, "So he," Zacchaeus, "ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. 'Zacchaeus,' he said, 'quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.'" Well, Zacchaeus did what no respectable man would do. He ran and he climbed a tree. Respectable men did not climb trees. But he didn't have any respect to lose. So what did it matter? So Zacchaeus positioned himself in this sycamore tree to see what he could see. And the most significant thing I learned about the sycamore fig tree is that it would have been cultivated outside of the city. I learned that there was a required distance between each tree and a required distance between the city wall and a tree. And it's an archaeological assumption that this tree was outside of Jericho on the roadside heading to Jerusalem. Now, why is that important? Well, it tells us that Zacchaeus ran outside of the city. It tells us that Jesus was leaving Jericho without stopping. He was on an important journey to Jerusalem where he was about to enter triumphantly. It also tells us that Jesus was not taking dinner invitations. As Jesus is passing through town, there would have been inevitably been invitations from people for him to stop. "Come to my house for a meal. Hey, stop at my home and rest. I'll wash your feet." Because there was a culture of hospitality there in Luke. That's different than our culture. We have Old Testament accounts where people would come into a town square and wait until someone would invite them in to their home for the evening. Because to have someone staying on the town square overnight was shameful. It meant that you were not a hospitable place to be. And that type of hospitality would have been present in this passage in Luke. Strangers would have been welcomed, and well-known people would have been especially welcomed. The status level, the fame of the individual coming through the town would have been met with an equal level of host. So if Harrison Ford were to visit Wichita, I would not be asked to house him. They would find someone with more fame, more prestige, more wealth to host him instead. Now, Jesus did not stop for a meal or to rest until he reaches this odd little man peering down out of a tree. And if Jesus saw him, the crowd would have seen him. It would have been this crowd who was hostile toward him. This was their opportunity to begin to shout whatever they wanted, all the mean things they were holding inside in hatred up to this man in a tree, because he wouldn't know who was saying what. Now, whether that time of jeering had already started or not, Jesus steps into the situation and he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' home. Now, when I originally read verse 5, it says that he called him by name, Zacchaeus. I thought, well, how did Jesus know his name? I mean, maybe he was hearing the crowds yell the name. Maybe he asked one of his disciples, hey, who's that guy up there? And they found out for him. But the neat thing was, Jesus knew his name. Jesus knew Zacchaeus. And another neat thing is that Jesus knows your name, this man. A situation where the ridicule and hatred that Zac received forced him to be an outcast climbing a tree just to get a peek at Jesus. And Jesus stepped into this situation and took the ridicule from Zacchaeus and brought it onto himself. And he did this because Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And Zacchaeus, being a man far from God, was clearly lost. Zacchaeus responds in verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. The people didn't like this. They were mad, maybe even insulted by this. I mean, Zacchaeus is a notorious sinner, not your run-of-the-mill sinners, but a notorious sinner. He is a traitor to his people. He is a cheat and he is a swindler, and this no-class man has no business hosting someone with the status of Jesus. I mean, why would he pass me up? My wife makes the best Thai food in town. And Paul always has the best cuts of beef. And Walter always has the best choice of wine on hand. All of us would have been a better choice than Zacchaeus. Doesn't Jesus know how things are done here? Doesn't he know who that loser is? But we know that Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows who society rejects. And in fact, the passage directly before this, at the end of chapter 18, as Jesus is entering into Jericho, there is a man, a beggar, alongside the road that keeps yelling out. And people just keep saying to him, "Be quiet! Shut up! Get this guy out of here!" And Jesus hears, and he goes to him, and he says to him, What do you want me to do? And the guy says, I just want to see. And Jesus says, okay, then see. Your faith has healed you. Jesus pointed out this faith of an outcast. And now as he is exiting Jericho, he enters into a relationship with another outcast. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And it is our command to do the same. So the people far from God are the people that we need to be close to. If you're taking notes, write that one down, because that is the main point of the passage today. We continue on in verse 8. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, and I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Now the law required restitution, and the amount Zacchaeus was offering to pay out anyone he may have cheated is very telling. If you wrong someone financially, the law required that you give them that amount back plus 20%. And if you stole from someone, you were required to pay back 400%. So if you were caught stealing a sheep from someone, you had to return four sheep to them. Four times is the amount required from a thief. Zacchaeus knew that his behavior was less than wholesome. But Zacchaeus, he encountered Jesus, and he was humbled, and he was overjoyed. His actions display a changed life. This was a man that had been transformed. And then Jesus proclaimed that salvation has come to this house today. And the man who was once rejected, Jesus now calls a true son of Abraham. Someone who was once far from God is now in a relationship with God. In verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. This is a key passage to our section here and the key passage to Luke, the whole book of Luke. Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus sought someone out and found them, and then they were lost no more. It was Jesus who initiated the invitation. It was Jesus who was the welcomed and yet uninvited guest. So how do we practice hospitality like that? Do we just invite ourselves over to other people's homes? Roger, I'm coming to your house for lunch today. I hope you're having fried chicken, because I like fried chicken. I mean, maybe not like that. But the idea here is still the same. We open up our lives and our homes to people who are far from God. And we build relationships with people, so they can ask us for favors and we can ask them for favors. And my time overseas taught me that this real type of friendship is not just about I'm always doing something for someone to help, but I'm also receiving help from people. I'm asking others their advice and support. I'm being authentic about my struggles and allowing others to step into that and to assist. And this kind of outreach, at least in my mind, shifted the way I think. that this relationship, I began to see people as they are created in the image of God. Zacchaeus, a man who was far from God, was still created in the image of God. Someone who God loved deeply. And also, as you go through your spiritual journey, you remember that there are others who are also on a spiritual journey. God is already at work in people's lives. And it's not our job to convince them to believe. You have to believe this. It is our job to show up, to invite someone to lunch or coffee, or maybe as you get to know someone, you can have the liberty to invite yourself over for dinner. There's a quote I read in my studies. The church must become the means for restoring the lost and rejected by seeking out, not by remaining isolated from them. I'll say it again. The church must become the means for restoring the lost and rejected by seeking out, not by remaining isolated from them. Many of us can just look outside the church walls and society and think, do you not see all the stuff that's going on? And we can easily feel overwhelmed by our own culture, and we want to build up walls to protect ourselves, just like the religious people did here. Nobody in this passage wanted to hang out with a blatant sinner. But God did exactly the opposite. And that is why our hospitality toward those who are far from God is so important. And we can extend that same type of welcoming experience, like that of Cracker Barrel, to people outside our church family. We know we can disagree with someone morally, politically, personally, and yet still enter into civil and loving conversations. We can still show them the love and welcoming that Jesus offers. The people far from God are the people that we need to be close to. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, and it is our job to be close to the people who are far from God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love the family you have put us in. We love that we are called your children, and that my brothers and sisters, my family members are here with me. May we not neglect each other. May we show love to each other. And at the same time, may we not neglect those outside of our church. May your Spirit lead us into relationships like that of Zacchaeus, or people who are just wanting to see you, wanting to know you. May we be a people who are welcoming to them. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.